Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hello! All right, I don't even know. What do we call our people? Is this part where I'm supposed to nickname the people who listen to this? Like, they like having nicknames.
You could call them Sandrites.
Sandrites?
Sandrasms.
Oh, that's incredibly egotistical.
Yeah. But, I mean, the name of the podcast is your name.
That's
and so
true.
If that's egotistical, then this whole thing is.
Actually, they're just sex nerds, because we can all be
there
sex nerds. So, hello, sex nerds. Sex nerd Sandra here. And I am talking to you to tell you about something that's coming up that's very special to my heart, which is on October 14th, my monthly show at Nerd Melt here in Hollywood, if you're in the LA area, will be on seduction and flirting. Why? Because I've gotten enough emails and in-person questions about how to actually have access to sex, where it's like, oh, that'd be great if I actually had a partner, where people are struggling with that. So you know what? I struggle with that too. So let's all, I'm going to bring in an expert. We're going to learn about how to be more charming. So please come over and support us here at Nerd Melt or listen to the show once it's out. So that's the thing on October 14th. So tonight, or now, night on the internet.
Tonight.
P.F. Tompkins. P.F. Tompkins? Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah. Both. Yeah. P.F.T.
Mm-hmm.
Paul F.T. Sure.
I love him in his suits. But that's anyway, great. He definitely elicits my love of men in suits fetish.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I was like, you're right.
You're a Paul F. Tompkins girl. That's so cool to hear.
Uh-huh. I mean, like, I hug him with my heart. Like,
right.
When I see him, I'm just like, I love his world. Anyway, today we are talking about anal. What about anal? Playing with it, poking it, making it feel good, having fun, everything, really. And specifically, since this is the first time we're going to be talking about this, we're going to be talking about as if you have never had it. So let's just say, first time having anal, what do you do? How do we prep for it? What should we think about? Because you have to think about these things, how to prep for anal. I mean, you know, you can't just be in the back alley doing it, you know, with some spit, because that could be really uncomfortable.
Wait, with what? With some what?
Spit.
Okay.
All right.
I thought that what you just said was a racial slur. So, that's why I was taken aback. Some spit. That makes sense.
Oh. Yeah, no, saliva. No, I just, when you think about the most spontaneous of sex, butt sex can definitely be part of that, but usually a little bit of prep and knowing how to sort of harness the power of good sex can really make your anal experience really great. So
I would bet. Well, because it can, if you don't know what you're doing, it can hurt one or both of you, right?
Oh yeah. But the thing is, it can also feel fabulous. So.
Right.
This is Dave Ross, comedian, funny guy, friend. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Excited to talk about ass.
Me too.
Yes?
I know so little about ass. Well, the outer part, mm-hmm. I'm familiar with. The
mm-hmm.
outside of the ass.
Mm-hmm.
It's the inside of the ass that I don't know anything about.
Okay.
So I'm stoked.
Yes. Let's do this. Anyway, we're going to start off with just the tip. And my tip for starting this off would be that you have to think about your fingers. So look at your index finger. Let's say you wanted to put this in someone's butt.
Okay.
All right. There are two ways generally to do it. And most people think about the most aerodynamic way, which is using the very tip of your finger and kind of poking in, like directly into the body. All right.
Sure.
The important thing to remember is that is not the most comfortable way to penetrate, but actually looking at the pad of your finger, think of it like either you're pressing a doorbell, ding dong, or you can think of it as the butthole is taking fingerprints of your finger. You know, like you've caught by the anal police and now you're being brought in for questioning.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, brought in by the anal police. That's great.
Whatever works.
Yeah, you just dab it. You're just dabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, of course, people put all kinds of stuff in their butts. So it doesn't have to be just fingers. But the idea is that when you press with the pad of your finger instead of the tip, you are also pressing up against the sphincters, which surround the ear opening. And by doing that, you're letting them know, hey, something's going to happen.
Here comes
now.
Something.
Instead of sort of just dashing in the middle, not letting the body know what's about to happen. And so the sphincters react very differently depending on which way you do it. So it's really important just to be aware that tipping whatever you want to put in there in versus just poking in, extraordinarily different. So keep that in mind. And that's just the tip.
I read somewhere that if you just put your finger straight in, sometimes the sphincter will just bite your finger off. Some sphincters have teeth, is what I've been told. But I don't know anything about anal at all. Which is why I don't have a tip. I don't have just a tip at all because I've never had anal sex. So I would say have it. That's my tip. Have anal sex. That's my tip.
The funny thing about anal is that people, if I were to, like, let's say Dave, I'm like, hey, Dave, I would like to penetrate you anally. Let's have anal sex tonight. And people immediately think like giant penis in there, but it could be anal sex. Just think of as anal play. And that means you can play in the opening. You can play, you can put something in there if you want. It can be really tiny. It can be really big. It's people always jump to the biggest thing. And I totally just, made you the receiver of anal sex in that,
who knows? It might happen someday.
It might. Pegging is very popular.
Sure.
But a lot of men are discovering that, oh, yeah, this does feel nice. Nerve endings are good. Play with them. When you say ass, okay, first of all, a mild story about lack of communication in the bedroom.
Oh, no.
I was with someone that was not incredible. We were just starting to date. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, yeah, put your hand on my ass. And he immediately took the blade of his hand and like tried like getting up in between my butt cheeks because he thought I meant to like get like up in my like butthole area. And like all I meant was like grab a cheek, you know?
Right.
And I was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like I kind of was like, whoa. So in terms of body parts, usually when people say ass, they think of cheeks, you know, right. Jiggle, more drunk in the trunk. Yay. Spank it around. Good times.
Well, that was so many euphemisms in a row.
Oh, that's my life.
It was great.
That was my life. Yeah, good times. But so we're going to delve deeper in between the cheeks. That's what we're talking about right now.
Deeper in between the cheeks. Oh my God. This is the movie I want to make. Anyway.
So just a breakdown of some basic pleasure anatomy, and just basic anatomy, is in your opening, anally, you've got two sphincters, one that you can control and one that you can't. So the one that you're able to squeeze, like, oh God, I'm on the freeway and I'm just pissed at everything. And, you know, in LA, we're just always in traffic. So there's always that, like,
totally.
There's that one. And the one that you can totally relax, you know, and kind of even push out a little bit if you really want to relax or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that other one. That's actually a really good tip. Is if somebody is having to accommodate something and they're a little bit scared or nervous, it helps open up your body if you actually push out a little bit. And that can really help. Yeah, it totally just changes the way your muscles.
Oh, yeah, it's totally relaxing me right now.
Uh-huh. Let's all do it together. Whoa.
Here we go.
No, no.
No? Okay. No. You want a coast-to-coast sphincter push? Welcome to the sphincter push. We start the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast with just a tip, and then we all do our weekly sphincter push.
This is going in a really weird direction. I try and do podcasts that I'd be comfortable with my parents listening to, and that just totally went out the window.
I just ruined that for you. I'm sorry.
I know it was me, believe me. But anyway.
But that's interesting. I never would have thought of that.
But there, okay, yes. It's helpful to know, but there's also a sphincter that you cannot control. It's really, most people can, professionals can, and they're very talented, but I'm but a mere mortal. So the You'll second sphincter, you really can't control a whole lot. So when people say, oh, just relax. It's like, fuck you. Like my muscles are going to do what they're going to do. And they're meant to stay tight. We're going to talk about how you can kind of relax those and so that they can accommodate what you want them to accommodate.
Okay.
Delving in even deeper inside the body, you have 6 to 8 inches of runway that we call the rectum. And then after that, you've got the sigmoid sphincter that is the gateway to the colon.
Okay.
A lot of people, one of the myths about anal sex is they say, like, oh, my friend had it and there was poop everywhere and they freaked out and oh God, and they just get very worried that there's going to be just poop everywhere.
Yeah.
That's anal sex. Poop, 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 and more poop.
I'm worried.
On the ceiling. Everywhere.
Yeah.
The thing is...
Next door.
Next door. How did it get over there? We don't know.
I don't know. It was the craziest anal.
A good time. Yeah. Good memories, at least. So the important thing to do to know is that your fecal matter really stops at the colon. And when you're doing, like, at the gym or at work, wherever, and the last 6 to 8 inches are completely empty. And only when you have that feeling of, oh, I need to go to the restroom. Pardon me, I must go to the restroom now. That means that it has moved down and it's ready for, like, evacuation. But unless you have that feeling, you're good to go. Like, you're fine.
Right.
So it's not like the minute you get past your sphincters, it's just like Chocolate City.
That's great to know. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, is there a way, like, does it happen where a man, a man with a penis long enough or a toy that's long enough can penetrate the second sphincter or the sphincter in the back?
They can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay.
But the thing is, also, though, because you have that sphincter deeper in, and people do have fairly deep penetration, they will report like, oh, it feels okay. We've gotten to the point where it feels good. But then when they get real deep, it's uncomfortable. And you will possibly experience some discomfort there too. So shallower penetration is
best.
If you are endowed with length.
Sure.
It might be good to not just like, you know, get deep in there right away. You know, kind of slowly get inch by inch, get in there. It's a good question. But it's not like you're going to just explode with, you know, it's not going to be poop down the street.
Oh, thank God. No. Well, anal sex, here I come. This is the only thing stopping me.
No, it's a people really, I mean, the poop factor is something to... The poop factor. It's a thing. It's totally a thing. Some people douche even, and they will take an enema, kit or some sort of douche ball or something. They'll get, and then they'll just clear themselves out.
Yeah.
And some people, that's what they need to do to feel comfortable. Some people just need to eat enough fiber and know that they use the restroom a few hours ago, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty low key about it. So if I'm like, tonight's an anal night, I think, I hope, maybe, then I just want to make sure that my diet's been good and I have done what I need to do in the restroom and I'm good to go. Like, it's not a big deal. And so a lot of people, they freak out. The main thing is don't be so nervous that you don't pay attention to how you feel. If you don't feel like you're ready, you're probably not ready.
Right, right.
It's important. Got to ask yourself these
questions. You don't need to be stressed out during sex. I mean, so many of us are a lot. Yeah. But
unless you find that erotically charged.
Sure. Man, I wonder if there are people out there looking for other extremely stressed people to have sex with and experience a stressed out lovemaking session. This is a website I'm going to start. We don't need to talk about it on this episode.
Neurotics.com or like neurotic love.
Neurotic love. Neurodicks.
Neurodicks. Ooh, very nice.
That's right. No one can steal that from us. We invented neurodicks today.
But I feel like that's gay male neurotics. No?
Right. Okay. You're right.
Neurotics.
But I mean, maybe there's a girl out there that wants some neurodick. You know?
That's true. Lure them in with that.
Neurotics does sound like, it does sound like a Jewish barbershop choir or something like that.
Actually,
I have a lot of Jewish friends, so I can say that.
Yeah, I've got a black friend. It's fine.
My mom's black, so I can make fun of Jewish people.
That's where your voice comes from.
Yes.
Your mom. Your black mom.
Yeah.
Where are we? What are we talking about?
Anal.
Well, yeah, we're talking about anatomy.
Poop.
It's
not a problem.
There's also a big fear that any anal play is going to result in not being able to control your sphincters anymore. Like, you're just going to be incontinent the rest of your life if you have a lot of anal sex. I mean, if you do it safely, consensually, comfortably, you snap right back. Like, it's fine. And that is an incredible myth that has been perpetrated out there by non-lovers of the bootay. And really, it's not true.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that sounds crazy to me, actually, that that could happen. I mean, I'm sure maybe it's happened to one or two people who,
like, maybe if you were like, you know, some violence, sexual violence could possibly, you don't want to damage the body in whatever your sexual endeavors are. Don't damage your fellow human beings or yourself. I mean, speak up if you're uncomfortable, but if you're doing it in a comfortable way. And when I say comfortable, I mean, like, for instance,
on the couch,
the rectum, that I just call it a runway because it's really just an area of like
It's like of space.
Yeah.
It's like a meadow within your body.
Exactly. With flowers and butterflies. In that space, there is a curve. And people curve differently. So it's important that when you're penetrating with whatever you want to put in there, that you don't just go straight in and just be like, yeah, and like get crazy right away, because there can be discomfort if you angle wrong and you hit the side.
Oh, really?
That can be really, that's why some people will tell me, it just hurts. Like every time he goes in, like the sphincters are cool, penetration is okay, because that's the first place people usually run into problems.
Right.
But then it'll just kind of sting and hurt, and it feels like they're poking something they shouldn't be. It's like, yeah, you're probably just going in the wrong angle. Like you have to find everybody's angle. So that's why you go in real slow first. And take a few pauses and just ease in and communicate. And
well, and I would imagine use a fair amount of lube that you continue to reapply.
Yes.
I would bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing to reapply is important. I say reapply lube before you feel like you need to apply lube, because there's always a minute or two of, do I need to put more lube on? Like, do I need more lube? Do I need more lube? Oh, yeah, I need more lube. And then, yeah. then you've had like a minute of friction.
Oh, Lord.
Like, booty hurts. And I've learned that from personal experience.
I bet it would hurt your penis, too. I mean, I have gotten, and not from anal sex, but I have gotten like an insane. I had sex on ecstasy once.
Whoa.
That just lasted forever, and I didn't even notice. And like to the point where she wasn't lubricated at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually not so damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But I got what was basically a rug burn.
Oh my God.
On my penis that I thought was just like some monstrous disease eating my genitalia away. But no, it was like a friction burn that I got.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Lube is important to talk about, actually, and that a mantra that we in the sex positive community like to tell people is the slogan for anal sex is relaxation, communication, lubrication, because you really need all three.
Relaxation, communication, lubrication.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about lubrication for a minute.
Okay.
Do you have any favorite lubes?
Not specific ones. I generally I have a couple bottles of different water-based lubes. And I've always liked water-based more than the others. But I haven't really used it that much.
When you say others, what do you mean?
I don't know. Whatever. I've always bought water-based lube, but I've had girlfriends who had lube that was based on other things. I don't even know enough about lube to know what it is. Okay. Oil-based, I guess? I don't know.
There's oil-based, silicone-based, and water-based. Water-based is the most popular. It's just the most common. Silicone is something. If they were female, they probably didn't have oil-based lubes, because that's that can be very irritating vaginally.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll have really old-school people come in. They're like, yeah, I use Vaseline. And I'm just like, damn.
Vaseline?
Yeah, just...
I use 10W30.
Like, I once actually got some mineral oil in my vahuha, and immediately it seized up and started, like, just, like, dying. Like, it was suffocating. There was, like, and then there was an infection, and it was just... It was a terrible moment in my life, and I've talked about... And in general, oils vaginally, not so great. Some natural oils are fantastic, but the petroleum-based products, not great internally for females. Anally, you're kind of like, just do whatever you want as long as you have a lube that you really like. Most people fall into two camps. One is a thick water-based lube, like not like a thin Astroglide watery saliva, you know, like a real thin lube.
Right.
The tissue in your runway is very thin. I read at some point that it was 40 times thinner than vaginal tissue, something like that. When you think of inside vaginally, you think of there's sort of meaty walls. I mean, it's built for stuff. Anally, it's incredibly thin. So you want to protect that. So it's kind of like oil in your car and the viscosity.
Right, right. Keep things moving.
Exactly. And you want a thicker one that's cushiony. So water-based lubes, like I used to use this one called Maximus for a long time. Or if a lube says gel is a good sign that you're doing some good stuff. Silicone is really fun, though. Silicone is the other camp of lube lovers. And I don't know if you've tried silicone, but it's super. Actually, I've got some here. It's pure. You can feel some.
Is it really like thick and viscous?
No. The interesting thing about most silicone, oh my God, this doesn't screw back on. Like, oh well.
We're just going to use all of this.
Here, feel some. So we're putting on pure on our fingers. This is a silicone-based lube. Feel that?
Whoa, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
My hand is extremely lubricated.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of feels like oil, but it's not oil. To me, that's how, but it's oh, a much cleaner fluid than anything oily.
And it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I'm like rubbing it into my fingers and it's sort of drying up and it doesn't feel sticky at all, which is cool.
Yeah, no, silicone is fun. I do find that something, and if you look at the ingredients on lube, if you just don't know, if you see water, generally it's water-based. But if you see words that end in cone, like dimethicone or cyclocoxane or something, X-A-N-E, like those are silicone lubes. And, paper towel time.
Yeah, paper towel time.
These,
you should have a jingle, the molecules. Right, paper towel time, sorry.
That'll just be every time I have sex. It'll be afterward. I'll be like, ding, 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 ding. Paper towel time.
Paper towel time.
Boom,
ba-doom,
boom. Yeah, fun.
We're all going down to paper towel time.
And baby wipes.
And baby wipes.
So it's funny that a lot of people have the urge to wipe off silicone lube, but if you've got a high quality silicone, I just rub it in because it actually makes a fantastic massage oil and a fantastic like I'll shine my skin before dates or performances or something where I'm just like, oh, look at me.
Yeah, my skin, it just gives you a little bit of smooth right now.
Yeah, it makes you real sparkly.
Yeah,
and it's actually great for your hair too. So
cool.
Yeah. It's fun. I love it because silicone, it's like duct tape. Like I make sure I have paper clips, duct tape, and silicone lube, and I can conquer the world.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to start washing my hair with silicone lube. Why not?
There you
go.
Oh, you don't wash it. You just polish. It's like a good polisher.
Oh, just to give you that sheen.
Yeah, just
to get the man that you want.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Watch out, you'll have to be prying them away. It's like Axe deodorant or whatever, you know, those commercials. Right. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, so the problem with silicone lube, I find, is that it tends to be fairly thin, super slippery, but you still feel, do you feel the, like your fingertips, the fingerprints? You still feel that texture on your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? When you use a gel, you don't feel that. So there's extra cushion there because it's so thick.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like lubes that are thick enough that I can't feel my fingerprints.
Okay.
And that means that there's no friction and it's just going to be super slippery.
Is that generally what water-based is like? Thicker?
You have to look at the bottle and then rock it from side to side and watch how the air bubbles move. And if it moves fairly slowly, that means you're dealing with a thick lube.
Oh, okay.
Water-based is so general that you have watery lubes, you have super
thick. And I guess
lubes.
Silicone is the same. There's
silicone
thick
is to be
and thin.
Thinner.
Oh, okay.
Pure PJUR, they make a gel lube that I think is fantastic. Like, I love that one. But actually, I got to this geeky point, where I would cover my goods in silicone, and then, because silicone stays around as a base coat, and then I would use thick water-based over it. So it was a two-part process. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know anyone else who actually does it. So if you do this and do a silicone water-based combo in the bedroom, email me, because then I can know that I'm not alone. But so far, like,
well, what is the difference in sensation and lubrication with using both of them? Like, why do you use both of them is why I'm asking.
Because I want something super thick,
mm-hmm.
right? And generally that doesn't dry up, but silicone doesn't dry up, but I mean, after a while,
but it's thinner.
Yeah. It doesn't evaporate and it doesn't get absorbed into the body. So it just stays on the surface. So it just sticks around longer. So in between water-based applications, even if the water-based stuff starts to evaporate or gets absorbed into the body, I have the silicone still there doing as the base coat. So that's because I'm a big baby. Like, I don't want to be worrying about the complications.
And yeah.
I just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
So I do that.
But anyway,
yeah. So silicone's great because it stays around forever. And you can put it in your hair. That's why, but it will tend to stain sheets. So I tell people if you want to wipe it off. One time I just wiped it on my bed and there was just a handprint for
like a
months.
Yellow handprint?
Kind of like an oiled, sort of like it darkened, sort of like when something gets on a paper bag. But then after several washings, it finally came out. But it was just funny because there was just this sort of Neanderthal, like cave painting handprint on my sheets.
And yeah.
I got
Friday the 13th.
Anyway. So that's lube. But really, for beginners, I say just go with a thick water-based. Something that you're comfortable with, something you like. I tend to avoid glycerin. I tell people to avoid glycerin, one, because it can cause yeast infections in women, and that's in a lot of your drugstore lubes, but also because glycerin tends to be very sticky, and people hate sticky. I haven't met a single person who likes sticky and lube, so please, dear
sticky
God.
Sticky seems like the opposite of lube. you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like lubrication at all. Yeah.
And when it gets sticky, you know what you can do to make it not sticky anymore?
No, I don't know.
Usually it's because of evaporation, so you can just spit on it or add water.
Oh, really?
And it'll rehydrate your lube.
Huh.
So, you know.
That's really good to know, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Man, I had, God, this girl that I was dating in college got me this thing that was like a multi-pack of like tiny packets of lube, and they were sticky as hell. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know whether it was water or glycerin or silicone or whatever, but they were all like fruit flavored.
And yeah, there's a lot of sugar in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
That seems like a terrible idea.
Right. A lot of flavored lubes. It
has a bunch, have a bunch of sugar in them.
Yeah. And so for, especially females are involved, it's good to keep them on the outside of the body.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my lube
talk.
That's
also good to know.
I do. It is important. And also don't let the bottle like roll under the bed after your first application. Cause that is such a bummer when you're like deep in it and you're like, oh, where's the lube? Crap. Then you're surviving on rehydrating your lube with your own saliva for like 10 minutes before you're like, oh, no, really, we need to find the lube. So, you know, be prepared. With anal, I tell people it's good to have paper towels nearby. It's good to have baby wipes nearby. And it's good to have your lube nearby. Like, have the things that will keep you comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to have to run to the kitchen to grab paper towels.
Yeah.
You know, because let's say you're using your hand for a while and then you want to switch over to a toy. And then eventually, let's say you want to put your penis in. If you're a dude and you, that's what you want to do. Then at some point, you're going to either want to use gloves or you're going to want to wipe off your hand or do something with your hand, especially if you're also going to be touching sensitive body parts. Because if your hand is playing with someone's ass and then you want to play, if it's a female, you want to play with clit vulva area, well, there's a urethra there, there's a vagina there, and they both hate bacteria that's in your back door.
Yeah.
So no back to front, and that includes what your hand and toys are doing. You know?
Yeah.
So these are very important things to think about.
It is.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. I did that once.
Oh, really?
Not back to front, but I was with a new partner and I hadn't done any anal play for a while. And we're in the dark, we're having a good time, and I can feel his hand is like on my vulva, just doing, you know, good feeling stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I know there's a reason why he shouldn't be doing this right now, and I cannot think of it. And he had been playing with my ass with his hands. And then the next morning, I woke up with the most painful UTI, urinary tract infection.
Oh,
in with my life. It hurt so bad for days. It was, and so as,
God,
of course,
I've never done that to anyone. Ugh.
I don't know. I don't know if women are really straightforward about if they do tend to get an infection. I don't know.
Well, I dated a girl who got UTIs all the time. But,
oh yeah.
But they weren't. I mean,
they weren't sex related.
At least most of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the frequency with which she got them, they couldn't have all been my fault. You know what I mean? It's right. Possible that I had done it sometimes, but anyway. Yeah.
Well, self-care is important. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Prevention. It's the best measure.
Wash your hands, men.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. That's as tough as I get. But hey, stop, guy. Wait, who's 2,000 miles away from me. I'll
the way you're
you.
Pointing, I'm really scared. I'm really scared.
I'm not even pointing at you, man.
Just into the air. It's fine. I'm really intimidated. So, anal is all up in porn's business right now, everywhere. Like, there is a whole
show
lot
enough.
Of... Yeah, and they don't show things like lube or...
They really don't.
Or the warm-up or anything. So, the thing is that there's a lot going on behind the cameras, because that's where most people see anal for the first time or find out about it, is through porn. So, what do we learn from porn? Like, I learned that, oh, you just...
You just put it in.
Yeah, you just flip her over, or you just kind of... shove them down bed and kind of be like, yeah, you know you like it. And then she's like, yeah, I like it. And then you just like stick whatever you want in there and then everything's great. And then they moan a lot. That is so not... Like, that is a fantasy, and it's a wonderful fantasy. But in reality, there's usually much more warm-up involved.
God, I would hope so.
Yeah, and there's lube.
Those people are actors. That's not... Mm-hmm. That's not real.
I mean, they're really doing it. But yeah, they're very good actors. But, I mean, it can also feel great. So...
Right.
You know, but secretly they did warm up. And if especially the receiver knows what they're doing, they're wearing butt plugs, you know, when they're eating their breakfast, and they start with something really small, and then later...
Is that what a butt plug is for? Like widening?
Yeah, well, if you look at a... I've got some plugs here on the table.
That one looks like a ring pop.
This is a frosted glass butt plug. Oh my God.
With a candy center.
Yeah, I think I cracked it looking at this. Well, I guess this won't be going in anyone's butt ever again. I guess it's just pretty now. This is a free sample, and it's got a Swarovski crystal. This
yeah,
is
there you yeah. go.
Super fancy crystal. Anyway, so a plug... First of all, anything you want to put inside the butt, you definitely want something flared at the end so that it doesn't get pulled in all the way.
Right.
Unlike vaginally, you can travel. And I did a video called No Base Without a Trace or whatnot. It's online, YouTube, Sex Nerd Sandra, look it up. It's fun. And actually, you can see this toy on it. But the important thing is don't let it get sucked up into your butt. So butt plugs are great because they're designed well. The bulb at the end is meant to go in and keep it from falling out. And then the stem, so it looks like a little, I don't know, what would you call that?
It looks like a mushroom.
Yeah. Yeah, like a mushroom.
Like a tiny mushroom.
A little friendly, delicious, magical mushroom. And so the stem is where your sphincters hug and relax. It's kind of like doing mild yoga. It's like inner yoga. So butt plugs are like butt yoga toys, really.
To train your sphincter to...
To relax.
To relax.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's like stretching before you run. It's just something that you know that you need to do, otherwise you're going to totally pull something. And you want to have your butt ready and warmed up before... Your muscles are cold, so your sphincters are cold, so of course you want to stretch them before you
get
it in there.
So they'll like... I mean, do you do that? If you know you're going to have anal sex at night, you'll put one in the morning and walk around with it?
I'm not filming, you know, hardcore anal, you know, craziness. So, but definitely let's say my imaginary partner texts me, it's like, hey, I would love to just bone you in the ass in an hour. Like, I'll be there in an hour. Is that cool? And I'm just like, yeah, okay. Okay, so I've got 1 hour. What do I do? I've got different sized plugs in my little bag here. And I'll start with something, I'll just lube up. And also eroticize. It's very important to eroticize your play. So if I'm just scared or nervous or like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that, I might just say, no, I really, like, let's maybe explore externally. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you don't have to put anything in. Just play around. Like, explore the sensations on the outside of the body. Like, just the anal opening is fantastic. You can just have a good time. You don't have to get in there.
Yeah.
Not right away.
No.
No, no goals.
No.
No goals.
Don't pressure yourself.
But if you do want to get in there, you start with something small, and arousal is very important. You have to keep your arousal up. Because without arousal, you're just kind of like, oh, there's something in my butt. that's an interesting feeling. But when the erotic mind kicks in, you're just like, oh, everything's sexy. Oh, like, I just want to... Like, suddenly somebody biting you isn't like, ow. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, it kind of like revs you. Your body changes and responds to sensation differently.
Right.
So arousal is key. So first I'd probably be like, oh, read an erotic story or think about what's sexy or look forward to what's going to go on. What else is going to happen besides anal? Like, oh, I love making out. Like, oh, I can't wait to do that. So I get sexy minded and then I'll lube up a very small butt plug and put it in. And of course, tip in, like I said earlier. But if I feel resistance or like discomfort, I won't. But instead, I'll just lube up a finger or two and I'll do a broad, like with the finger pads and just massage the outside, it pressing on the sphincters. Basically, I'm just pressing externally on the sphincters and kind of like pushing on them and kind of just, it feels nice, actually. It feels really relaxing because that's where we hold a lot of tension. So it's just like, butt massage. No, it's also good to massage cheeks, like massage the whole area, thighs, cheeks.
Really? That helps. Oh, okay.
Totally. Like everything going from broad strokes to really fine strokes are kind of the way that you narrow in on erotic. It's how you build erotic tension and climax, hopefully. So let's say I want to go for someone's genitals. I might like massage their calves and their thighs and kiss them and kind of I work toward what I want to get to eventually, but I don't just pounce on it. So if I want to get up in my back door, I'm going to kind of test myself out, like, oh, how am I feeling? Am I feeling sexual right now? Like, oh, get turned on and then maybe massage on the outside. And then and then just gently tip in the first thing I want to put in. I mean, honestly, I usually don't even put it in until my partner gets there. But if I'm like, okay, in an hour, boning will happen anally. Wow. You know, some people are like that.
You lead a crazy life.
Well, you know.
1 hour from now, we will be having anal sex.
Sometimes.
I imagine you like in line at the bank when you get this crazy call and you see like a bat signal and then you have to run home.
Mm-hmm. I've been really interested because I will talk to people who just hook up anonymously with other people at clubs or whatnot.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And just and go and so they know that, okay, we're dancing in probably about half an hour. I'm going to have this guy's dick in my ass.
Right.
And it's like, and then like, how do I make this okay? And so I've been thinking a lot about short-term warm-ups for the butt. Because there are so many people who don't have an hour and don't have a whole toolkit with them and how to do that.
Well, then what happens though if, because I'm totally foreign to this stuff, like just like the dominatrix stuff, like totally foreign. And so what could go wrong if you don't prep and you just start having random anal sex in a club without much? I mean, in situations like that, you know, there can be like very little foreplay as well, you know? So what can happen?
Usually people will tell me that they just are uncomfortable and they just grin and bear it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And usually
that doesn't sound fun.
When people tell me they grin and bear it, they usually know that eventually they will relax and enjoy it. But there is a period of time where they're just like, oh, that burns. It's uncomfortable. And it's because there just wasn't enough warm up.
Right.
So for me... Actually, funny enough, I took this little pink plug and I was like, okay, let's say I had to totally just be in bed, like in 10 minutes. So I'm not turned on at all right now. Just to say in 10 minutes, what do I do? And I took it and I lubed it up and I just did like I did all the steps, but really quickly. And I just like massaged the opening and then I took it and I did that. Tip in motion and I just pressed and I pressed and I just like went around the opening and kind of massaging it in sort of a gyroscope motion and then I just
rolled it over the opening.
Yeah, and then I just started tipping it in because it's just me. I mean, if it hurts, I'm gonna stop. I mean, it's not like there's anybody right. Like nah, you know. I mean, it's just me, so I'm just like okay. And it was totally an exercise in learning what these people kind of like, what is the best way to do this. And I totally just started kind of basically. Is that gyroscope right? Where like
I don't even know what a gyroscope is.
Where you're just, where you're, what is this motion? I forget what this motion is. Like you're stirring paint or something. You're just
right. You're sort of like scooping, like but not.
Yeah, you're screwing,
not pushing in.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I need to find a motion.
It's like a top spinning.
Yeah, a little bit like a top spinning, but wobbling.
Yeah.
Okay, there we
top.
Go. A wobbly top
doing
motion.
The wobbly top.
And I started and of course relaxing and slightly pushing out. And it slowly started to go in and it felt like pressure, but it didn't hurt. And that's what I was going for is no discomfort. It just felt kind of nice, but warm and tingly. And my body started to open up and I was just top wobbling basically in and really pressing on those muscles because you can really press the walls because the muscles are there. I mean, they're there for you all the time, just doing their thing. So, you know, they can be pressed on. It's fine. And I was able to get it in and I felt like such a champion. I felt like the biggest champion. So I have discovered some things.
Was that your first time using a butt plug?
Oh, no. This was a recent, I've got to put butt plug in number one. Okay, then I'm going to make out with somebody. And then let's like have a little sexy time, like penetration vaginally. Woo, you know, and then butt plug number two once they get aroused. The important thing is, let's say you have two butt plugs. Let's say you want to get somebody who's the size of a Coke can.
Sure.
In you. That is humongous.
That's big.
You probably are going to have at least three butt plugs in varying sizes of thickness. So it's important to go with butt plug number one. And then once you feel like, oh, this one's totally fine. Like, I feel like I could totally have more because I'm getting aroused. And of course, you're with a person, hopefully, and you know, doing your thing or by yourself.
Right.
Whatever. But, and then you go to butt plug number two and then butt plug number three. And of course, around butt plug number two, you might be like, ooh, I may not be ready for butt plug number three. And it's okay if you just never get there. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
No?
It's a slow working toward the Coke can.
Yeah.
We're all trying to find our Coke can.
Yeah. No, it's what I have so many women, especially women, who are just like, he's so thick. I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, just breathe. Just breathe.
Well, sounds like you've been talking to some of my ex-girl. Sorry.
only a couple of them.
Oh, God, that's bad. that would be bad.
Anyway, so I've totally just gone on this whole, like, trying to get things in your butt, you know, situation. But it's a really interesting thing that some people really want to do. And it's like, all right.
Honestly, it seems like we just scratched the surface.
Uh-huh. There's tons.
It seems like there's tons of information about putting stuff in your butt.
Yeah. But it's really important just to warm up a lot. Lots of massage, cheek massage. Even if nothing goes in, having the comfort to play around your anal opening is incredibly gratifying for people because it expands the genital area in which you can play.
Yeah.
And it really, it's almost like if you take a song that you like and you just listen to the melody and then you add a little bit of harmony and that's like kissing and genital play. And then you add some nipples in there and then suddenly you've got a beat. And then anal play is kind of like adding, I'm not a very musically minded person, but it's like adding an extra bass line. You know, it adds texture to your sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does help vary the sensations you're experiencing. So it's a whole new dimension.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I the next person I hook up with, you know, I'll probably, you know, hint toward it.
Just text her.
Not necessarily anal sex, but anal play, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Like some rimming.
I really haven't done much at all. I don't know why either. I just never really, I guess I was a little bit scared of the dirtiness thing we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. That is a big fear. It seems like there would be just lots of poop to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like lots though.
Yeah, not so much. Some people do have experiences of that. When I question people who have had negative experiences in that way, it was usually like sometimes just playing the area does stimulate the digestive system and does move things down faster. In which case, it's good to learn your body and know how it responds. And if that's the case, just excuse yourself and go do your thing. You know,
yo, do your thing. that's the new name of this podcast. Yo, do your thing.
Yeah. In the bathroom. Yeah.
Paper towel time. Paper towel time.
No, it's so important. It's just so important. I love people. I really, anal play is just a way to expand. But there's no pressure. If you don't want to have any sort of anal play, it's totally fine. There is so much other great stuff
to do. It's not fine. You have to do it.
You have to?
You have to.
Oh my God.
That's what we're trying to say here.
The next girl you date, please just text her and be like, I am going to have my penis in your ass in an hour. Get ready.
Actually, I'm... The next person I date who I'm comfortable enough with to say that to, I will. I love that type of joking around. I love messing around with people I'm dating.
You wouldn't be like, I'm serious. No, really.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There's so much to say about ass. This is definitely just scratching the surface. I can't wait. I want to have a panel of...
A butt panel?
A butt panel. A total guys, gals, people who are total bottoms and receivers and just their experiences. Because it's fascinating hearing how people deal in different situations. Some people just hook up and do it real fast. Some people only in long-term relationships, only during holidays or anniversaries.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's your birthday, so you get the butt today.
The cookie dinner.
I'll grin and bear it.
Yeah.
I did date a girl once who told me that she would not have anal sex until she was married, which I thought was a very interesting thing to save for marriage.
Well, it is...
No, it is what
romantic.
It is. Really? I mean,
I mean, if you're gonna save at least you save a virginity for marriage.
Yes,
I mean,
that's true.
Kind of sweet. I don't know.
Yeah, I always told myself that I wouldn't have sex until my third marriage. So I got to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those first two are gonna be tough. Man, just over here saying dumb stuff. You don't have to respond.
No, my brain, it's usually I get quiet when my brain goes in five different directions.
Oh, me too.
So I'm really disappointed in you that you haven't been married yet. Like, we really need
or to. Had anal sex.
Yeah, or
I know.
Had
when
sex.
I told you that, you did, there was a, you're a very understanding, accepting individual, but there was a tinge, a millisecond of, I would have thought that you would have gone there.
Well,
but
I think that, whenever I talk to people who are in long-term relationships, they're always really excited to have that, like, to find virginities, to find new things to do that they've never done before, to share that with their partner. Like, it's really special to, like, reach toward different boundaries. But then I'm like,
I never thought of it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, like on the Sex Store Warriors podcast, when I talked about how someone sat on my hand and suddenly my hand was in someone's butt. That was just something that my entire hand was in somebody's body.
Whoa.
And it was during an educational training. But afterward, he's like, I just love taking people's fisting virginities. And he totally told me that. And I'm like,
whoa.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you totally, yeah, you just stuck my virginity, my fist virginity. And so it's just interesting to find, because there's so many, I mean, there's thousands of things to try in this lifetime if you're interested in it. And it's I don't know, it's nice to share that with people.
That is really great, actually. I always sort of thought it was like, I don't know, especially with anal sex. So like something that was like really sort of terrifying to a lot of people. I never wanted to push the subject, but that's great. I love that. I love that outlook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you're, I don't know, sharing a unique experience. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, if I've ever done everything, well, that's just boring. So just keep on frontiers, explore, keep going.
Totally.
It's like space. Anyway, well, that is our first anal podcast. And I'm
my anal podcast, Cherry.
Oh, see?
Yeah, we shared this as friends.
Awesome. So my name is Sandra Doherty, and thank you for listening to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. You can find out more at sexnerdsandra.com. Of course, this is presented by Nerdist. I love them, and they love me, and it's just a huge group hug at Nerdist. We love. It's good.
Nerdist is great.
And Twitter, I'm at SexNerdSandra. And Dave to the Ross on Twitter.
Yes, I am at Dave to the Ross. And my website is DaveToTheRoss.com.
Oh, and you have a fantastic women?
Women is the name of the sketch group I'm in. WomenComedy.com.
Yeah, there's some fun shit on there. I definitely giggle.
It's all the sketches, except for one, are less than 1 minute long. You can watch our entire body of sketches in less than 12 minutes.
At womencomedy.com.
Womencomedy.com. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, have a good time and go team fun.
Go team fun indeed. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.